In 1903, the Qing dynasty waned, and a group of German brewers on the Shandong Peninsula established the aptly named Germania Brewery, offering a taste of Europe in the midst of the German concessions of northeast China. Soon, however, the brewery would undergo a series of transformations, mirroring those taking place in China in general. The brewery would remain in German hands following the Chinese Revolution of 1911, but when the First World War came to a close, the Germans lost their concessions in that country to Japan, and the brewery was forcibly sold to Dai Nippon Brewing, the company that in 1949 would be split into Asahi and Sapporo labels. After the Second World War, the brewery was briefly put under the administration of the Sui family by the nationalist government, at least until the fall of the Republic of China on the mainland that same year, when it was made into a state-owned enterprise by the fledgling People's Republic of China. And so, the brewery remained for decades until the thawing of Deng Xiaoping's reforms led eventually to its privatization and merger with three other breweries of the same metropolis. Now sold in 69 nations, this beer once brewed according to strict German beer purity laws, though now an adjunct lager, constitutes around 50% of the PRC's total beer exports and is the second most consumed beer on Earth, its growth mirroring that of the economic development of modern China itself. Today, on Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer, we're raising our glasses and shouting a hearty ganbei. That's right, folks, today we're talking about Qingdao.
That thing all night. Say, lady, bring me some of those chitlins over there, will you? Put a little of that slow.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and kittens, it's that time again, that hour of the week when we gather together over the warm glow of a bag of Andy Cap hot fries to share a frosty cold beer, consider its place in our history and culture, review it like it was an early Italian nationalist opera by Giuseppe Verdi, and probably make some wild, pointless detours. As always, I'm your host, Eric Drummond Smith, joined by my ever just excitable and delighted to be here cohort, Jason Clayman. What's up, Clayman?
Not much. That's all.
That's it. That's no. You got nothing else.
Nope.
All right. We're also joined today by our guest, Callie Heidela. Callie, how do you do?
I'm doing very well, Eric. How are you?
I'm real good, thank you.
I do want to say at this top of this that I prefer the cheddar fries to the hot fries.
Well, some people are wrong about some things. I guess this is just one of those instances for you.
And then there's Tom's hot fries.
Oh, now
totally different animal.
I grew up
a very
on
different
Tom's
one.
Yeah.
I didn't know that the Andy Capps existed until at least late teenagerhood.
Yeah.
I had those in college mostly.
Mm-hmm. From a vending machine.
And the Emory and Henry bookstore had them. Yeah. I just want to point out, by the way, until the moment I started recording, I couldn't get Clayman to shut up. The minute I started recording, he turned into a monk who's taken a vow of silence. Are you okay? Are you all right?
I have nothing to say to you.
Oh, my God.
They're in a fight.
Why are we in a fight?
I don't know. I don't know what goes on between men.
95 degrees today. I'm over it.
Yeah, but you are not in that anymore. You are in my apartment, which is temperately
91.
Cooled. Yeah. It is 66 American degrees.
What's that in Chinese degrees?
I don't know. That would be Celsius. And I'm not up on the conversion.
Oh, 22?
Probably. Why not? 22 degrees.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you want to open a beer?
Absolutely.
We'll grab those out of the fridge. Now we got bottles. I've never actually seen Qingdao in cans. And the bottles, Qingdao bottles are, I believe, I don't think they're twisties.
Let's
so we're going to have to use our bottle opener.
They certainly are not twisties.
They're not. So we'll, ladies first, here you are, Callie.
Thank you. Of course, if you were sure, gentlemen, you would have opened it for me. But this will do.
Yeah, I'm not, I guess. I'm a monster. So have you either of you had Qingdao before?
I've had a sip of it once in a sushi club.
Okay.
I have. In fact, you bought it whenever I had it.
Really?
Yeah, it was like, wow. Probably in the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Which one was the bottle?
The first one we drink out of the glass, and then we drink the second one out of the bottle.
Okay. I do want to say, the moment I popped that open,
mm-hmm.
I was immediately, when I inhaled my next inhale, brought back to my apartment where I can always smell the guy who lives under me. I imagine I was walking to my apartment just as he'd like blazed up a joint. It smelled like my apartment.
You thought it smelled like marijuana cigarettes.
I did. Yeah. Huh. That's what I'm saying. Do we have a cheers? Do we toast?
If you'd like to, we can. Okay. We've never done it before, but we're only in episode 3.
There we go. Time to start.
Ganbei.
Yeah.
There we go. Mm. Oh, that's a good beer.
Papery.
Is this a rice beer? Seriously, is it brewed with rice?
There is rice.
I believe that rice is the adjunct. Malted barley, hops, yeast, and pure amount of water.
Rice is the adjunct. Not a fool, Professor.
Oh, my gosh. So what are your first impressions? The smell was good, right? You always got to worry about with green bottles. It's a green bottle, and you got to worry about skunking with it.
No, it smells like green, like weed.
Like, what else? Is that all it smells like to you is marijuana, you think?
My brain latches onto one thing.
It has a distinctive odor, let me say.
Yeah, like the last two beers we've...
Sweet odor.
Yeah, the last two beers we've had almost nothing, almost no smell.
It smells and a lot of taste.
Yeah.
And this is not brewed to be a light beer, correct?
Lager. No, this is a premium lager now, so it is not a light. It is, in that regard, I suppose. Yeah, see, it's online, its ingredients are listed as including rice, but the bottle does not mention the rice. So, did you get a hangover from our last beer? You often are concerned about rice beers, Jason.
No, they just tend to give me, I can drink one and it gives me a headache.
What about three?
No, it was okay.
You were okay. All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
See, all right. And now I'm still looking at other websites and it's not listing the rice. So I'm not sure, actually, if it has rice or not. I'll do more research. We'll put that on the blog. What are your first impressions of the taste?
I'm going to have to drink it again.
Well, you're allowed to. That's why I bought it for you.
Mm. Thank you for that, by the way.
No problem. You're doing us a favor by being here.
Oh, I don't have to be here?
No, you do not. There is no, you will not, this isn't going on your permanent record.
I got stuff to do.
Sure.
Good.
Oh, great. Callie, Callie, before we go on with this scintillating conversation, tell us about yourself. What do you do in the world?
I, like, very specifically, work at a museum here in our little town.
Which museum?
It's called the William King Museum of Art, mm-hmm. and I'm its director of fun.
Director of, is that your formal, I know that's on the website because you've bastardized it. That's not your formal title, though, is it?
Tours and Community Programs Manager.
So fun is...
In the eye of the beer holder.
Show gosh. T-shirt.
And we met, Callie and I got to be friends because of an art show
mm-hmm.
that I put on, and she was the curator and I was the guest curator, she's pretty great. She's pretty smart.
Uh-huh.
She likes art and stuff, and you went to William & Mary, right?
I did. Good tribe.
I've heard William & Mary is a bit of a party school. Is that accurate?
Yes, absolutely. It's very, the students there very much embrace the work hard, play hard attitude. That's where I developed the earliest stages of my alcoholism.
Are you?
I'm
my goodness.
Alcoholic, guys.
That is...
And we wouldn't say you're in the late stages either. You're just in your prime. Right?
Yeah.
You're like at the peak of, you're at the top of the bell curve.
Yeah.
Great. That's exactly what we want to promote
on
this.
None of this one beer hangover nonsense. Like some.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
It does. To the worst of us.
Yes.
Well, the reason we're doing this beer today is this is actually my first beer. This is the first beer I ever had.
Today?
Well, yeah, both today and ever.
Was it when you were in China?
It was when I was in China. I turned 21 a couple months before, and I had drank before. I had had there's a place in Abingdon. I'm sure if you've ever been here, you're familiar with it, good listeners. It is Los Arcos.
See?
Los Arcos. And Los Arcos, Clayman, did we go there frequently in college, would you say?
Yes.
We went there so often that when I graduated from college, they shut down the restaurant and let our fraternity stay. And they just let us have a party. And so that tells you a lot. But I didn't drink till I was 21. And I had three drinks that night, like a maniac. I had three strawberry margaritas. And they were 85-cent strawberry margaritas. They were delicious. I still prefer a strawberry margarita to a regular margarita. What do you think about that?
85 cents.
Wow. For
a margarita.
I'm sure
people were going to think you went to college in like the
1800s.
Yeah. This was in 1997, I guess. 1997 it was 85 cents. So
the quality of the alcohol in that had to be very high. It was only top shelf.
It was only top shelf. I'm sure it was Patron.
None of this platinum. Well tequila.
No,
the 85-cent strawberry margarita.
No homemade rum in that.
No, it wasn't any hooch. That was my... So then I went to China that summer for the better part of the summer, and my first night there at a formal meal, they gave us wine, beer, and liquor, and we were toasting everything, and I had a Qingdao beer, and it was amazing. It was really, really good. But that brings up something else, the spelling.
Yeah.
Have you traditionally called it Qingdao?
Qingdao, yeah. Whenever my friend orders it at the sushi place, I think he hits the T's, at least that last T.
Yeah.
Qingdao?
Yeah. But it's really, it's Qingdao.
Well, I trust you.
Well, Qingdao comes from an old transliteration form. The Akul Francais de Extreme Orient. I don't speak French, just bad Chinese. And it was a really weird transliteration version of Chinese. And so Qingdao is this weird. I don't know how you hear Qingdao and go, oh, that sounds like Qingdao. Or Qingdao, or yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
Whoever said it first had a really terrible speech impediment.
Like they met like one dude, Randy.
Yeah. Let's call him Randy.
Clayman, let's do a simulation here.
Randy.
So you're
Randy from China.
Yeah, you're gonna be the French guy, and I'm gonna be Randy from China.
Need you to curl your mustache a little bit, Clayman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hey, welcome to my home city. How are you doing?
Poo-poo. French fry.
Oh yeah, really? You want to know how to pronounce my home city?
Pate.
Hold on. Qingdao. And then you hear all the other Chinese guys in the background going, "Don't listen to Randy. He's an idiot." He doesn't know. He doesn't. He's an idiot. He can't. His mouth. He has a problem with his mouth. It's pierced.
It's
pierced. Not in a good way. This is going great, guys.
So many facts have been crammed in.
Right, I know.
I feel like I've learned a lot.
You've already learned quite
about
a bit.
About Randy.
Well, have you ever seen another kind of Qingdao other than like the lager?
Never.
Me either. Like, not even in China, I didn't see it, but they have several kinds. They have a dark beer, a premium, which apparently you can get in some parts. You can get the premium in some parts of the United States. They have something called Huichuan, and Great Ocean Beer and something called 1903. And that's, I saw those, and you can get those all in like New York or San Fran or somewhere.
I was going to say, maybe a more metropolitan area. You know, we don't have a huge, probably, market for Oriental beers or Chinese beers or whatever you want.
When I was in China, I could get Qingdao, or not in China, in Knoxville, when I lived there, I could get Qingdao pretty readily, but I never saw any of these other.
But you're not going to see this at the Chevron here.
No, I had to go to a beer outlet in
You're not going to get a chili dog, three egg rolls, and a six pack of this to go.
That sounds amazing, though.
It does sound pretty great.
That's exactly what I would like to do.
So what was your first foreign beer, guys? Do you remember?
First foreign beer?
Yeah.
Foster's.
It's Australian for beer.
That's right. Also, my first legal beer.
Not made in the United States, by the way. Or not made in Australia, by the way. Foster. So, it doesn't, technically, you were wrong.
Really?
Yeah, it's made in the United States. That's going to be a really fun one.
But I had it in England.
Did you?
Well, yeah. It's all sorted.
That's actually made in England, too.
So
I guess it would be it was an English. Your first foreign beer was an English beer that you thought was Australian.
Yeah.
That's like England. A metaphor for your life.
Wow.
Huh.
Yep, that's that pretty much sums me up right there, that story.
Wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. This is going great.
Super.
Wait, Clayman, what was your first foreign beer?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big supporter of NAFTA, so I'd have to say it was probably either a Canadian or a Mexican beer.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, your first beer was Olson, a foreign beer. Ice. Yeah.
And then, of course, Corona, probably shortly thereafter.
Cool.
And I've had several others since then. In a couple of years.
A couple other foreign beers?
Yeah.
Or just beers?
Just foreign ones.
What would you consider Bud Light to be a good foreign beer?
It's not a good anything. Maybe a boat anchor.
A boat anchor?
If you needed it to be. If you could get it to sink.
Well, so if you just filled it with sand.
Yeah. Pour it out. You know, fill the cans with sand. And the box.
So, we used a Bud Light can. I think this was a Bud Light can. I was at a reenactment, and we were camping right by a lake. And we went into the lake because it was really hot, and we had some empty Bud Light cans. We started sinking them down into the water so they would bubble back up. And then we...
So you littered.
No, we brought them out of the lake with us.
Oh, okay.
We kept them as toys, though, and like
as know, fun so toys. You
aim the bubbles up like somebody's butt or something like that. It was really funny.
Wow. See?
That was really funny, guys.
Bud Light has its purpose.
Yeah. The empty Bud Light can has its purpose.
Empty, yeah. Just not a fan. I don't know if I made that clear.
Hey, Clayman, do you like Bud Light?
Never. Ever.
So you would drink a Qingdao before a Bud Light?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is a decent beer, right? Like,
my problem with this beer is that it's very drinkable, and I can see myself drinking them very, very quickly.
It's definitely it's a light lager.
Yeah. What's the ABV on this thing?
The ABV is, I believe, 4.8%.
Oh, good.
4.7%, I'm sorry.
It has it has a pungent first sort of odor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. I was afraid that every time I open it, I'm always afraid it's going to be skunked.
Right. And you really wouldn't know from the first.
Yeah. Kind of like Heineken, I guess.
That's
like,
exactly what it smells like. I couldn't place it.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it smells like.
You get that big whiff. And like Heineken, it's in the green bottles. So it's more likely to be skunked than...
I had that foreign beer, too.
Mm-hmm. You've had the Heinekens. Heineken, a powerhouse of beers. They own a huge proportion of the total market globally. Let's see, a couple other things. They have I found very few Qingdao marketing campaigns. Well, wait, hold on. Before we get into that, what did you just point out on Callie's body, Jason?
Looks like some sort of skin art.
Would you like to describe that, Caledonia?
Absolutely. I have this really fresh and sweet tattoo
mm-hmm.
on my forearm. It's a tribal tattoo. That's what the vending machine at the Food Lion called it.
What tribe is that a tattoo from?
Whatever Moana's was,
I guess. Moana's tribe?
That would be Polynesian.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? This is a real culturally sensitive episode. Continue.
So it's that kind of, you know, surfer hang ten or rock and roll, but we're going to go with the surfer because this is definitely...
Awesome. Yeah, so it's got the pinky extended and the thumb extended and the fingers. Yeah, the thumb.
Oh, yeah, sorry, my bad. I forgot what a hand was.
Don't worry, I thought the capital of Georgia was Albany. Oh, God.
It's okay, it happens.
These things happen.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
People are wrong sometimes.
Yeah, we're not recording this at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
We're definitely not.
Everyone's had long days.
It's 3 in the morning.
It's 3 in the morning. I've been digging ditches all day long. So, so why did you put that on your body? you're a grown ass woman, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Person.
Legally speaking, I am
a grown ass person.
Person. Thank you.
Respect my neck.
I was leaving the Food Lion and there were these tattoo dispensaries.
I saw those today, I was there.
Yeah. Well, I tried to get, they had pet ones. And the pets had really wide eyes, like those.
Oh, that's bothersome.
Those weird paintings. Yeah. That cup.
There's a Netflix show or documentary about that woman or movie about.
There's
that
a movie with Christoph Waltz.
Big eyes.
And, yeah, big eyes.
Yeah.
And Tim Burton directed it. So I wanted one of the pet ones, but they were out, and so I had to go for my second choice.
Pacific Islander.
Yeah.
This
could have been like a cute puppy or a kitten or a penguin and.
And then you would have been really badass.
Yeah, I would have.
Are you going to go ride?
The Rock might have that.
The Rock almost definitely has
probably
that.
Probably does. Yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yep.
Not the movie The Rock.
Right, no.
Okay.
Starring Nick Cage and Sean Connery with that green stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff looked great, right? It looked like a fun, like a marble.
It's like slime on Double Dare.
God, yes. I'm so glad they're bringing that show back.
Yes,
it's back. I watched it.
You watched it. What were your impressions?
Great.
Good.
It's good. It's just as good as the album.
What beer would you think is ideal for watching Double Dare?
None. You're a child.
Yeah, there's none.
A juice box.
No, I'm not talking about a child. I'm talking about him as an adult man. You wouldn't watch any. You wouldn't have a beer while you watch
it. Can't do it. It's just not.
What if you got like a Bud Light orange, so it's like a juice?
Oh, God. You just...
No. Can't do it. Number one,
it's a Bud Light.
It's a Bud Light. Number two, it's a Bud Light orange. I mean, come on.
That seems.
I have heard of drinks, no joke, called Manmosas.
Yeah.
Which is basically a Miller High Life and orange juice mixed.
Yeah. What is that called? That's a. It's got another name too.
I don't know.
Hold on, I'm gonna look that up. Keep talking while I look that up.
I want to drink that.
When?
At what point?
I've had one of those. It's actually not bad.
Beer-based mix.
We do that. We're planning some of those, actually. A beer mosa. Yeah, that's what it's called.
There you go.
Yeah, and I've had one. They're actually quite good. It's a brass monkey, basically.
That's a funky monkey.
Much better than a chalada.
What's the proportion of beer to juice on a beer mosa?
Put in a beer and add juice. I would be, Mike. I mean, I'm not sure. Here's a beer mosa recipe. You want me to read it?
Sure. Follow your heart.
This is the kind of commentary that's really killing it. Beer replaces champagne in this cocktail.
That's just a mixed beer.
One beer, 4 fluid ounces of orange juice, mix. That is a recipe website.
Orange juice, yeah. 16 ounces.
Yeah.
16 ounce pint glass.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you look at the picture, it's red, which makes, that's orange. Maybe they use blood orange for that.
That's a possibility. Mm-hmm.
I love blood oranges, guys.
Yeah.
Oy vey, they're good. So this is a good question. What, we're going to reveal what we're pairing this with, food-wise, and obviously it would go really well with, like, I think spicy foods and a lot of Chinese foods, but, like, what would you pair this with? What activity would you pair this with? What would you drink this while watching or doing?
I feel like I want to be outdoors.
Yeah.
I would pair it with city.
Where would you be sitting?
Outdoors.
Outdoors.
We claim it. I want you to shut your mouth. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Now I want you to close them. Close. I'm not going to touch you. No one's going to touch you. Okay. Now close your eyes. Now where are you sitting with this Ching Dao in your hand?
What?
Where are you sitting? Use your imagination. Oh, you've got a Ching Dao.
In a ditch downtown.
You're just sitting in a ditch. And you went, your in a ditch beer was Ching Dao.
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't think about these things, Eric. I'm really a black and white person. In my life, there's no gray.
That's absolutely not true. Yeah, all right, Callie, let's do this exercise with you since you seem to have
someone. Outside, lawn chair. Fireworks.
There you go.
That's great. Fireworks invented in China.
That's what I was going to say.
Wonderful. Callie, how about you? What is your...
Hold on, I'm going to close my eyes.
Please close your eyes.
Don't touch me.
Be the ditch.
Don't just tell her to be in a ditch.
You want to take a drink?
Sure.
Have you ever been to a Greyhound bus station?
I have just sprayed myself with beer. Oh, my God, and baby Jesus.
The newest fashion and luggage at the Greyhound station is the hefty trash bag.
Oh, my God. Somebody is on a Greyhound bus listening to this right now and is just sitting there in their chair trying not to touch anything.
Thinking about a ditch downtown.
Thinking about a ditch, and they're just like, that son of a... Oh.
That son of a ditch.
All right, we're going to move on from that. The reason I was wondering is the first ever recorded public serving of Ching Dao was apparently in 1904 at guess what kind of event?
Outdoors one. A ditch digging ceremony.
What would be, like, it's this is going to sound like a stereotype, and that's why it's so amazing.
Also known as a groundbreaking.
A kung fu fight.
Everybody was there.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. His hands were fast as lightning. I hope you're edited. Anyways, it was a kung fu fight. A public kung fu fight was the first place it was apparently publicly sold or served. It was first imported to the United States in 1972.
Wow, and was that maybe not at the height of the kung fu film era in the U.S.?
I'm not sure about that, but I know it was associated with, it was beer. I've read some, it's been a while, but I've read about like beer diplomacy. So the idea was like basically once the U.S. and China started having open relations.
The open brewery policy.
Yeah, this is one of the first things they exported to the United States.
Thanks a lot, Richard Nixon.
Are you angry at Nixon for providing us with this delicious cloth?
No, I'm not.
Angry at Nixon for a lot of other things.
Klayman loves Nixon. He has that Nixon shirt. Did you hear that? Yeah.
But, I mean, I did see his face kind of shake when he said, I'm not a crook.
But he's not like Quaker oatmeal. Quaker, the belief system.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, seriously.
Wilford Brimley loves Quaker oatmeal.
He was like the only one.
Yeah, you know what? I'm confident he's not the only Quaker to live in California.
Quakers.
At minimum.
Yeah.
His wife, probably his children.
You know, kids don't have to be the same religion as their parents.
Well, at least they typically start out that way.
You're a modernist, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Callie, tell us your thoughts on God. No, I'm just kidding. That would be a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break here. I'm going to try and wake Klayman up.
Klayman,
are you...
Before we go.
Klayman, are you going to do some jumping jacks or something to wake up a little bit?
No. Don't plan on it, but thanks for asking.
Like maybe some curls.
Some curls?
Some squat thrusts.
Like curly fries?
Some cheese curls?
Maybe do some squat thrusts.
No thanks.
How many squat thrusts have you done today, Klayman?
Several.
And was she satisfied?
On that note, we will be right back.
Top, we don't want to hear that. What do you think this is? We don't want to hear that sentimental stuff.
Yeah, that's what you've been singing around here the whole night long. You don't want to hear that sentimental stuff.
Play them blues for me. That's all I want.
So Callie's awake now, she says.
Yo.
Congratulations, Callie.
I've been awake.
How is that working out for you?
She is woke. I am woke.
Are you?
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Great.
So we're entering the next stage where we are going to pair it with some food. We're drinking it straight from the bottle now. Our beer, of course, singed out.
No, I poured mine in glass. Sorry.
What? I'm just curious. What led you to do that? You just felt like keep going?
I'm always making bad decisions.
That's true. Fair point.
I didn't pour it all, so there's still some in the bottle.
There you go.
Very good. All right. So you can still get that. Yeah. So to the pairing today, what do we go with, guys?
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky. All right. Thank you, Callie. Kentucky Fried Chicken, part of the great Yum Foods empire, right?
Yeah.
Along with the other two Yum Food superpowers, which are Taco Bell and Pizza Hut. Dip Dog's not part of the Yum Foods.
Ooh, have to give a shout out to them at the end.
Dip Dog Stand.
God, I do love some. That's a good idea. So that's one of our shout outs. It's one of our plugs is for Dip Dogs. Remember that. Apparently the reason we're doing Kentucky Fried Chicken is, first off, Kentucky Fried Chicken is crazy popular in China. It's really everywhere in the bigger cities.
Don't they eat KFC, or maybe it's in Japan where there's a big run on KFC at like Christmas or New Year?
I'm not sure about that.
I know it's one of them. I feel it now that I'm thinking. I think it might be Japan.
Maybe.
But it's crazy popular. I think it's Christmas. Christmas KFC.
They have Christmas cake in Japan. I know that, but it sounds. Yeah, you can look that up. Go for it. Yeah.
I don't know.
So, in fact, if you do a search online, you can find Qingdao Beer put out special bottles that were specifically they're aluminum bottles issued for sale at KFCs, and they're kind of like ornamental, and they're very nice, and they have like the kernel on them. So it's like it's very very Chinese looking bottle in terms of its aesthetics, and then with like a Kentucky guy. Very interesting. So what are your all's impressions? Like, does it pair pretty good?
I think so.
Right?
Beer's good, chicken's good, love it.
I still envision myself sitting outside.
In a ditch? Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Where is this ditch at?
Near the Greyhound station.
Which Greyhound station?
The old one. So it's near here.
There you go.
Technically it was across the street over here.
The Abingdon one.
Yeah.
But Eric, what year did you say that our beer was first imported to the United States?
72.
72. Okay. Well, it's going back to Japan. It was thanks to a successful Kentucky for Christmas marketing campaign in 74 that Japan can't get enough KFC on Christmas Day.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Absolutely.
I don't either. This is really good. This is good Kentucky Fried Chicken, too.
You got that original recipe, man.
I did.
Good job.
I think if we're going to do it, we should do the original recipe, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they were doing the baked or oven grilled or something like that?
I loved it.
That was really good, right? Mm-hmm. That was very, very good.
It wasn't really grilled, though.
How did they make it, do you think?
Just cooked in an oven.
Doesn't matter. Still good.
On an oven grill?
I took it away and I was sad.
I don't know. I just know that I was told it wasn't really grilled.
Who told you this? The colonel?
A former employee.
What was his or her name?
A whistleblower.
Randy.
Whistleblower.
Was it Randy?
Yeah, it was Randy.
Hey, Randy. Give a shout out to Randy.
He was from the Beijing KFC.
The Beijing? Which one? The one on Tiananmen Square?
The one on Main Street.
On Main Street in Beijing? Really? Never been to that one. I did have, I did go to Pizza Hut.
How was it?
It was really good. I hadn't had American food really in weeks, and I went in there and just was a maniac. It was delicious.
What kind of pizza did you have?
Pepperoni, of course. Which I think would also pair well with this. I think spicy food really would go well with this.
Stuffed crust?
Huh. This was the 90s. Plus, I'm not a big fan of the stuffed crust.
What?
Yeah.
It's my bonus.
So you're a big fan. What do you think about the stuffed crust, Glenn?
I like it sometimes, but we don't have a Pizza Hut anymore.
Or a KFC.
Yeah, but the Little Caesars has a stuffed crust.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
They have an extra asbestos stuffed crust. It'll give you a heart attack, but it's delicious.
Anyway. Like a minor heart attack, or?
No, I've seen a guy die.
Just a minor cardiac infarction.
What was his name?
Randy.
Was he from the Beijing?
No.
Where was he from?
No.
Chilhowee.
I was at Chilhowee, Randy.
Did you ever drink Chinese beer in Chilhowee, Clayman?
Oh, God, no.
Is there a Chinese restaurant in Chilhowee?
No.
No.
They did sell egg rolls at Food City.
Did they?
Yeah.
So, important question. If you were to go see this at a local bar or you're going to go buy beer before you cook out or something. Was this a beer you would consider buying?
No.
Really?
No.
How come?
Just not. For me, no. It's just, if I was eating Asian style food, Japanese food, Chinese food, Mongolian grill, whatever. Yeah, definitely. But for like a cookout, not unless I was cooking out Chinese. So I guess I don't know.
How about you?
Mongolian grilling.
Mongol grill.
Yeah.
How about you, Callie?
I mean, yeah. You know, I like to try to introduce friends and family to different things that are a little bit outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Some call that pretentious. I would agree.
You believe it is pretentious?
I don't know.
I mean, I think it's not an expensive beer, right? It costs me... I think a six-pack was like $7, $7.50.
There
you
go.
Yeah. So,
I like it better than Bud Light.
Well, yeah.
Same.
So would you, all right, do you like it better than, your go-to is Miller Lite.
Correct.
It's obviously much more flavorful than Miller Lite. But do you like it better than Miller Lite?
No.
Really? What is it, and I'm just curious, what is it about Miller Lite that you prefer to Qingdao?
I love America.
So
USA, USA, USA.
So it's that's it. That's the whole.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is a little bit heavier. It's not a heavy.
It's a
beer.
Touch heavier.
It's not a
touch.
Beer.
Yeah.
But I just
Well, it's not a light lager.
Right. And that's my go-to. Just if I'm gonna have a beer and grill something, let's go for the light beer.
So, if there was... Okay, that makes sense. Okay, how about... All right, moving on. All right. So, let me give you some ratings.
Let me say
here.
This. Weather-wise, colder weather, this would be great. Fall beer, right here.
No.
Like a fall beer? Like a watching an early fall football game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With some KFC.
That actually would be great, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this is a warm weather beer for me.
I think it could be.
I think it's warm weather. I think though early fall when it's like the leaves are just turning, so it's warm, but it's going to cool down that night.
I'm saying right now in July, this is the kind of beer that I would drink.
No, I think it's great beer. I would definitely drink this right now.
95 degrees in July.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Especially this cold. It's like it's delicious. Mm. So what
I would say this. I think it is very much a quality product.
It's a good beer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to Miller, Genuine Draft, and Bud Light, we are like, this is like a breath of fresh air, I think. It's
well, it's not that fresh. It smells like wheat.
It does not smell. I'm still...
It's brewed in Denver.
Dude, man.
The Mile High City.
Yo.
So... Oh my God, this is a good question. Actually, is this what? Do you drink beers like according to kind of like what you're watching on TV, or playing. Cal, you're a big gamer, right?
I do.
What are you playing right now, by the way?
I just bought Far Cry 5. Mm-hmm. That's really just to tide me over until the new Assassin's Creed Odyssey comes out and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Where is Odyssey set at? Is that Greece?
Ancient Greece.
Cali was a classics major.
Yeah, I was. Classics and English.
Well, I mean, I apologize.
So
that's cool. That's really cool.
I think I get to be a Spartan, and I cannot tell you how excited about that.
What do you think your Spartan name will be?
Oh, I said it.
John Spartan from the movie.
Hell yeah.
John Spartan?
John Spartan from, what movie
John
was he
Cena.
From?
Yeah.
That could be your name.
Yeah, that's my name, John Cena.
Have you tried the newest SpongeBob?
Demolition Man. John Spartan was from the movie Demolition Man. Do you remember that?
I do remember the movie.
I remember the title. I've never seen the movie.
Really? Well, let me, all right, okay. Wow.
Like
that movie was on 6 months ago at Holy Taco.
I thought about buying it recently on Amazon.
Yeah, I've
been there.
Where is that at?
I was having some trash nachos or something like that.
That sounds amazing.
And they were ridiculously good. And Demolition Man was on the TV. It was really strange.
Well, it's a great movie. Mm-hmm.
1993. Oh, great.
It's great. I'm not saying it's great. It's not.
Movie, yes. Great.
Well, it depends on what you're saying is great. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be, it should have won an Oscar, but,
it didn't.
It surely didn't. Wesley Snipes with blonde hair,
which is the way he should be.
There's a lot of discussion of how to clean your butt. What's the best way to clean your little bottom?
Sure.
And it's with three shells. Do you remember that, Clayman?
Event.
But there's these three shells in the bathroom. And so Sylvester Stallone has just woken up from cryo freeze. And he's like, I have to use the bathroom. So he goes to the bathroom and he comes back. He's like, there's no toilet paper. And they're like, oh, you have to use the shells. He's like, the shells. And everybody laughs. They're like, oh, he doesn't know how to use the shells. So he goes over and he starts cussing in front of this machine that issues you a ticket every time you say a dirty word. And then he says, hell and damn and other dirty words, and then he takes the tickets and goes and uses those in the bathroom. You don't remember that scene?
No.
It's a great scene.
Hey, Eric, do you remember that scene?
I do.
Cool.
You know the other best part of that movie is that do you remember what restaurant won the restaurant wars, the fast food wars, Clayman?
Pizza Hut.
No, Taco Bell. Taco Bell did. Another Yum Foods brand.
I was going to say.
So, well, I'll tell you what. Before we go to break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to...
Eat more chicken.
Well, sure. I'm going to give you the rankings from Beer Advocate, Ray Beer, and Untappd. Beer Advocate gives it a 2.76 of 5, ranking at 46,594th. Ray Beer gives it a 2.04 of 5. And Untappd a 2.86 of 5. They obviously not a huge fan of lagers on these, but it is, again, the second most consumed beer on the planet Earth. So
what's the first?
It's called Snow Beer, and it's also Chinese.
Huh.
I've been looking for it to try and get it so we can do it on the podcast.
Sorry, I have to buy it in winter.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll give our ratings of this beer. Does that sound good? Anybody have anything they need to throw in before we do it?
No.
No.
God, I hate both of you. Scintillating!
...whole night long, and you ain't bought the first drink somehow. Now, if the house catch on fire, and there ain't no water around, landlady, throw that gallon jug out the window, and let the shack burn on down. Because I don't mind playing any time that y'all can make me drunk, but Mr. Pine Top is sober now. Now, just to show you, I can play the blues, I'm going to strike them again for you.
Clayman's just been sitting here quoting old school. Very effectively, by the way.
You're welcome. Yeah.
So let's do some reviews, I guess.
I'm really glad that you're the co-host of the podcast.
Yeah, he's not talking tonight very much. It's been very slow.
Is it because of me?
No, I think I'm just tired. This is the third day in a row.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. I understand.
Yeah.
Not supposed to say that since we released them a week apart.
You just edit it.
I can't just edit everything.
Hey, Eric, say some words. Give us some
FSB.
So, all right. So let's. What? God, I hate you guys so much. Tell me what do you think about the smell, mouthfeel, color? What are your impressions of the characteristics of this?
First impression is I hate the word mouthfeel.
Well,
hate it a lot.
So what is your understanding of the mouthfeel of this beer? How does it?
I'm sorry, I'm not mature enough to answer that question.
What he's asking is, how does it feel in your mouth?
How does it feel in your mouth? We're gonna move on from that.
Let's just go to smell.
What's the smell? How does the smell strike you, Callie?
Like marijuana-ish. That's what I've said from the top of the show to right now.
That's the only note you've got.
That's all that I would like to offer.
How does that make your mouth feel?
Oh my god. I just want to point out, by the way, that the chicken bones from that fried chicken, it looks like a velociraptor has been ravaging some poor triceratops in here.
How did the chicken make your mouth feel?
No. Anyways. So, taste. Where do we stand on the taste of the beer?
I can't get past the mouth feel.
How does it make your mouth feel?
Very full. Alright, hold on. I'm going to put some in my mouth and see how it feels.
It's not overly carbonated. It's very European feeling, I think. As opposed to like American lagers, which are like really, really carbonated. And Callie, you are 30 years old. She is laughing.
I'm 13.
Like, seriously. If you spray Qingdao beer all over my gosh dang. Oh.
I did. I swallowed it.
Good. Oh, you're a real lady.
This is a horrible conversation.
This is the worst. Wrong. This is the worst episode so far.
Or is it the best?
We're gonna find out in the reviews. So Callie,
yeah.
How does this damn beer taste?
Let's see. I don't know. You know, it's a lager, but to me, it's light and.
I mean, it's a European style lager. Yeah.
It tastes like the sun in my mouth with some rice.
Yes.
Wait.
Yeah.
It tastes like the sun.
Yeah.
In your mouth.
Uh-huh.
With some rice.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got to accept that. There's nothing I can say. I don't know what to say. Claim it.
I'll allow it.
How would you describe the flavor of this beer?
The odor, I'm going to say, is off-putting upon the first open of the bottle.
Sure.
It's just a little strong, and you do worry. Is it a skunkiness?
Yeah.
But totally it is almost like that Heineken
odor.
Very much the same.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. It is, I think, we paired it with the food. Excellent. Yeah. I think that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
So you would say, like, this is a beer for eating with?
Oh, I think so, definitely.
I would say specifically a picnic. Yeah.
Again, I bet it would be great for a picnic. Yeah. I haven't been on a picnic in a very long time. That would be really great.
Next episode,
you have a yard out here.
I have a yard. Yeah, absolutely.
You can eat outside anytime.
Well, I don't consider just eating outside a picnic. A picnic is like going somewhere and putting stuff on grass. And
like a basket and a blanket.
Yeah.
You can like somebody with a parasol.
I do have blankets. And I've taken some of these blankets on. God bless. Anyways.
The beer smells like
you can go to the mustard grounds.
I could go to the mustard grounds. Yeah. The How about authenticity? Obviously, this is actually made in China. Most of these are most Qingdao beer is not made in Qingdao anymore. There are 69 different breweries in China.
Wow.
Which is, I know, that's crazy, right?
So I guess it's on a regional distribution.
That's what it seems like, and I'm not sure which of these breweries, if there's any like set rule about it. Imported exclusively by Jacob Best Imports in San Antonio, Texas, but I don't know if they're coming from Qingdao or
San Antonio.
No, they're imported, so they're made in China. It's just a question of where they're imported from. It's not like, you know, like Foster's, which we're going to talk about again soon, is
Australian for beer
and is made in like America. It's actually made in Fort Worth, Texas, actually, of all places. So
I like it. I think it's a decent beer.
I think it's a solid beer too. I really
for the money,
especially for the money. Yeah, I mean it is. I feel like if you want to drink a lager that tastes like a lager, not like an American style, I want to drink a whole ton of these lager, but like a real lager, this is a good example. So, all right. So Callie, you're our guest. So we're going to let you, I almost forgot one last thing. X Factor. Is there anything in particular that you know about it or about the company or about this particular beer that strikes you as, you know, design, anything like that? Ads. I don't know if you've ever seen an ad for...
I haven't seen an ad. I would like, now that I've tasted this beer and talked about this beer, I'd like to see how they advertise the beer. I like the bottle. It's very, you know, regal.
They seem to advertise more in Britain, from what I can tell, than in the United
Probably
States.
Probably in China, too.
Well, they advertise quite a bit in China, obviously. But, I mean, I'm talking about in other markets similar to the United States. It's, they do have a slogan right now, Living Imperial.
Nice.
Yeah, and wow. Hashtag Live Imperial is their go-to on Twitter.
I'm going to add that hashtag to every social media post for the rest of time.
So you think, what do you think? Do you think they'll start following you, maybe?
Yeah, I do. I think that they'll hire me as an ambassador for their beer.
Well, actually, that might be something that's possible because they have an ad campaign in several countries where they're on the Laoshan River, the original brewery is, and they use that's a river that's particularly important apparently in Taoist mythology, and so they talk about in some of their ad campaigns they are showing these different like multi-ethnic, multi-gendered people who are, and saying they're the Taoist immortals. So they're taking this Chinese mythology, distributing it in whatever country they're selling in, and then using that to try and show like there's this kind of innate hip cool linkage. So maybe you could be one of the Taoist immortals for Qingdao in the United States.
I could absolutely do that. Yes. You have all the skills necessary.
What are those skills?
Immortality.
Wait, you see, whoa.
Immortality, teleportation,
yep.
Shape-shifting.
Done.
So you're an immortal.
Yep.
What type of immortal are you, may I ask?
Highlander.
Are you a Highlander?
No.
Are you a vampire?
No, I'm whatever mythical creature resides in Finland. I'm that one.
Hold on. Clayman, will you keep talking for half a second while
do you know,
some
research?
Is
there a direct translation of the name? Qingdao? Did we talk about that?
There is, obviously, but...
While we're waiting, let's guess.
Yeah, I don't speak Chinese
I think
anymore.
It's bright...
Star. Bright sun. And right. You said it may
Qing is bright.
I want to be outside in the sun. It tastes like the sun in my mouth. S-U-N. Huh. That's my mouth feel. Right. Sun. Mm-hmm. Light.
Keep going. No, this is making great sense. Keep going. This is great.
Yeah.
So it tastes like the sun.
Uh-huh. And it feels like the sun.
Does it taste and feel like the sun at any particular time of year?
Summer.
What month?
What month?
Of the summer, yes.
July.
Yeah. I would like to drink this beer on the 4th of July every year.
Hey, guess what tomorrow is?
Well, it won't be when this episode comes out.
Oh, you're right. I screwed up. I ruined the the secret of...
We pre-record,
guys. We've made that mistake in all three episodes so far.
Well,
so.
See, in the radio show that I host, we never make that mistake. So.
Yeah, well, you're better than me. Green Island.
What?
Green Island.
Green Island.
The other thing is the Live Imperial.
Yeah, I love that.
It sounds pretty cool, but if you associate that with imperialism,
no.
Might not be the best.
It's not the Ching I thought it was. Okay. Well, I don't think it was. It's meant to
be like
conjure that image so much as the Chinese Empire.
Let us
come
take over your country and use it for its resources, and then leave it as a
so.
Loophole.
What you're saying is that Qingdao, their motto is basically the same motto as the aliens in the Independence Day movie.
Correct. You're really ending up on the 4th of July, by the way.
The Queen of England.
Wait, so you think the Queen of England's motto is live imperially?
Maybe not.
I hope it is.
You should write her a letter. Why do you hope that?
It's kind of badass.
Do you think... Okay.
She's a no-shit kind of lady.
That's right.
You're going to have to edit that.
No, I'm going to leave that in. There's no question that's staying.
I saw her. She came to my school.
She came to Marion High School?
No, to William and Mary.
I was about to say.
I was like, yeah. I looked at Clayman, and Clayman's face is like, she
not
is.
When I was there.
She did not go there when the Scarlet Hurricanes.
She visited William and Mary while I was a student there. It was really cool.
Did you talk to her?
Did you wave?
I did wave. Did not get a chance to speak. I was trying to get an invite to maybe a tea party or something. But she
you're known
not.
For your love of traditional British tea parties.
Listen, I love. Well, I like Irish breakfast tea, so it's not so much.
I have known you how many years now?
5.
I've never seen you drink tea.
I don't know. I posted a picture of me on my Instagram.
You posted a picture of you. When was that?
I mean, that's because you always see her in a bar.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. Callie is very fond of one bar in town. What is that, Callie?
It's called Rain, and I make it rain.
Make it rain.
She's living the rain lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's very close to Food Country USA on Main Street.
It is. Within walking distance from us.
It is in walking distance.
For those who work there.
Correct. There's also the brewery, which is like kind of like the triangle.
Yeah, it is. It's very handy.
Bermuda Triangle.
The Bermuda Triangle of Abingdon.
Poor decision making.
Oh, wowie, wow, wow. Well, we'll move on from that. Nope, that's not for another episode at all.
More beers in.
Again, we will never be getting that while I'm recording.
So Clayman, do you want to start like a side podcast?
Yep, definitely.
Great.
I'll do that tomorrow. Great.
Okay, so Callie. What rating would you give this out of 5 stars?
Out of 5 stars?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Let me get the mouthfeel again. I don't do like a... I like this beer.
Yeah.
So I'll give it a 3.8.
3.8 stars?
Yes.
It's a lot of math to get me involved in this one. Very good. All right.
What did you say?
3.8.
Okay.
Do we have to do addition?
No, I have. I'll total them all up later. Don't worry.
Okay.
How about you, Clayman?
I'm gonna get a 2.5.
2.5.
The highest one so far.
It's the highest so far, but still not. You're not like it hasn't broken the 3.
It's halfway. I mean, I think it's of what we've got it to compare to.
So it's a but like it's so you would say like if you're grading in the age of pre-grade inflation, it's a C.
Right, but I think right now it's the best beer we've had.
Oh, it's certainly the best beer we've had. There's no question about that. Like, leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 3.75.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it is, for what it is, like it is, I mean, you guys know me. I if I'm going for a fancier beer, I'm more likely to go for a dark beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree, like, for a summer beer, this is, or again, claiming like a tailgating beer, I think this would be perfect.
Yeah, I do think it would be good for that.
And it's, I like it too because, you know, I had a piece of chicken and I've had one whole beer. I'm still not even done with this one, but I feel like comfortably full. Like, I don't feel like I'm going to, feel the urge to go like chug beers to try and, you know, like when you drink a Bud Light or something, you're like, oh, well, to feel like I've had beers, I should have three or four at least. And this is, I feel like this is great. This is really solid.
I could drink a six pack.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could see that again, like if I was sweating and it was hot, no question, all day long. Clayman could probably drink, what, like three cases?
Yeah. Seriously, though, like two for me? The two beers there? That's good.
It's a two beer. It is. It's like, it's enough, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good, like, if you're having a meal, you know, you get one before the meal starts, you finish the second one as the meal ends.
And then and you're it. Set.
Yeah. You're good.
You go safe, home.
Mm-hmm. Good. Not expensive.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really kind of checks all the boxes.
Yeah.
It is. I really like this beer. So I feel like, all right, cool. So we're pretty close on where we stand. All right. Is there anything else you want to get in before we move on to plugs?
I do have plugs.
What?
What sort of plugs?
We're going to plug.
No.
You could plug whatever.
Like a business, like a museum,
or national, or movement, whatever you want. Yeah. Before we do that, I do want to say on the Google Scholar, I have found. Oh my God! On Google Scholar, I've found that there are about 650 results for Qingdao beer. So that's a lot more than I thought I was going to find. A lot of those have to do with scaling, with economic development of China. And then a lot of research out there on Qingdao's role in like place setting and movies about China. So that's kind of interesting. So, okay, cool. So plugs. Callie, do you have any plugs?
Yeah, sure. Is that the same as Clayman shout-outs that we mentioned at the top of the show?
Yeah, that's...
Okay. Okay, then I feel like, first off, shout out to my home country of Finland.
You were not actually from Finland. You were from Marion, Virginia.
I identify as Finnish.
Would you speak one full sentence in the Finnish language? And by the way, if you're listening and you have access to Twitter, feel free to hashtag Callie speaks Finnish. And translate everything she's about to say. She's about to speak fluent, perfect Finnish. It's gonna be beautiful. Callie.
I'd also like to.
No, okay.
I need to, of course, give a shout out to the place that gives me my paycheck and my reason for hanging out, Wing King Museum of Art, also the Wolf Hills Community School, which I'm very proud to be a board member.
Visit the WKMA and
yeah, WingKingMuseum.org, yeah. And come to Abingdon and see all our cool exhibits.
There's some really good stuff right now. Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely, it is. And like I said, the Wolf Hills Community School is a fantastic little school in this town. Mm-hmm. They're really changing the educational landscape of Abingdon.
And you're on the board of that, right?
I'm on the board of, yeah, the school. I'm the vice chair. I tried to nose-goes my way out of it because I didn't want that extra responsibility. But I'm glad that they gave me that position.
So you're in opposition of public schools like the one that Jason Clayman works at.
Steadfastly. No, not at all.
She's a product.
I am.
Of a public school system.
Yeah, this is all the public school's fault. All this mess is because of public school.
Yeah.
And I also should say the Push Film Festival in Bristol, Virginia/Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the programming committee for that. That's a really cool up-and-coming film festival where we focus on films that really push the boundaries and, you know, make you think and question. And you know, that's in October every year, so everybody needs to come to Bristol and check out the Push Film Festival. What else should I put?
Yeah, three days in October. Yeah. What do you know what?
It's usually right around my birthday.
October 12th through 14th. I just looked that up.
Yep.
For you. Yeah.
There you go.
So yeah, the Push Film Festival, really, really big deal. Getting bigger every year, right?
Yeah. Last year we got a lot of international submissions, which was really, really cool. And
you should make sure that they serve Qingdao at one of those.
and fried chicken.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, let's all shake hands on that.
Let's do it.
It's becoming a tradition for all of us to shake hands at once.
It's
there
really
we go.
Cool, awkward.
That was a weird check.
Yeah. It was great. It went great. Callie reached in for a second go.
Yeah, that was nice. I liked that.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So Clayman, do you have anything you want to plug today?
Again, you know, keeping it local, if you decide to come visit Abingdon, Virginia, check out our restaurant scene. We've got some great places. Callie mentioned Rain, which is a wonderful place.
Yeah, it is great.
Good food, good bar.
The tuna. Get the tuna, guys.
Or the ribeye.
Looking for something a little more down home, maybe a little less nightlife oriented. Chicken Little.
Yeah.
Chicken Burgers. Little. Great Meat and Three. Just a good place. It's next to the police station, so you won't get in trouble. And next to a Baptist church. And next to a cemetery. So, you know.
It's a very Abingdon thing.
You're kind of wedged in between everything.
There. Police station, cemetery. Little League Fields. And delicious chicken and chicken byproducts.
Exactly.
And that's where didn't a famous killing happen there?
I think it was just a heart attack.
No.
Wait, what?
The FBI, didn't an FBI officer get killed there years ago?
What?
Where was that?
That was another part of town. That's a whole long story here. We don't have time to go into that.
I mean, we could get into it.
We could. Let's do that on another episode around Halloween.
Ooh. Oh, hey, Callie is a haint mistress.
I am the assistant haint mistress of Abingdon.
The haintess.
And she's an expert on all the big ghosts and little ghosts. And
if you've not done that ghost tour, you're here in October, that is an unbelievable thing. My daughter and I did that.
Was Callie your haint mistress?
She was not. You may have been all the time.
I probably was. Like,
you
I usually follow along as part of my apprenticeship.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
It was excellent. It was awesome.
Did you see, what was the most famous ghost you saw?
Callie.
Callie is actually alive, so.
The ghost of Rain.
She does haunt it.
The ghost of Callie Atlee.
I'll have another Budweiser.
Did either of you know? Oh, you've been on ghost tours, so you, if you remember, you do know. But Eric, do you know what the most famous ghost in Abingdon is?
Randy.
Nope.
Is it the Barter Theater ghost or the?
No, that's Bob Porterfield. He's famous. Yeah.
Sure, Chad. What?
Chad Wilkerson. No, it's the ghost horse of Abingdon. It's the most
that famous. Seems like a lie.
Which is strange. I didn't know that.
I've never heard of that. How can it be the most famous when no one's heard of it?
Well, I think it's a generational thing. It's kind of skipped.
It's the most frequently seen ghost.
Where is it at?
It hangs around the Barter Green, the Martha Washington Inn. Or the Martha. It's just called the Martha.
Whose horse is it?
It belonged to James Wyatt, who was a Civil War soldier.
Sure.
I mean, I can tell.
How do they know? How do they know that? Does it have a collar?
Yeah.
Like a puppy dog.
It's microchipped.
It's a microchipped ghost. Then it's not a ghost, guys.
No,
that's just a horse. There's just a horse in Abingdon, and people are like, "Oh my God, it must be a ghost!" But no, it's just a damn horse.
Hey, you know, too, going back, if you're going to be here visiting, decide to come see us. The Martha Washington Inn.
Oh, absolutely.
That is the Martha. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable food. Great bar.
Clayman would eat every hamburger that they made.
It's unbelievable. Great setting. They have a leather couch you can sit and eat on.
And you should order an adult milkshake.
I don't know anything about this.
We're gonna get into that.
Homemade, freshly made ice cream they have. The bartender is really talented. She'll take that ice cream, figure out what to mix it with. Should make an adult milkshake. It is phenomenal.
I know where Clayman's going Thursday to eat dinner.
Yep.
Probably
tomorrow.
It's the 4th of July. Are they open? The restaurant open tomorrow?
So. Hospitality industry.
I apologize. So I guess I'm going to do another shout out to Wolf Hills Brewing. Wolf Hills, who lets me do my trivia there, that Callie is a frequenter of.
William Queens, what's up? Shout out to the William Queens.
That's her trivia team, of course. Right. And I also would like to. Oh, heck. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about it when you guys were talking about all these wonderful restaurants and stuff. And I'm like, What is something local? I want to do something else local. Dr. Enough Soda Pop, guys. Dr. Enough Soda.
Oh, my God.
Is like, it's one of those things that if you've never been to Southern Appalachia, you've probably never even heard of it.
I love it.
Locally made from herbs, right? It's like it's not really artificially like flavored at all.
It depends.
God bless! What is with you tonight? Oh my God, no! There's no marijuana in Dr. Enough.
It depends on what version you get. There's an herbal version.
There's a regular.
Regular Dr. Enough, and there's Diet Dr. Enough.
But the herbal version is like over, it's just cranked up herbs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like ginseng and
stuff, yeah, and that's great too. But they're really, really good and locally made and high quality. The people who make it are wonderful people. And
vitamins in it. Yep. Mm-hmm. B vitamins.
Yeah, it's kind of really cool because it's like local sodas are they're dying out. You know, at kind of at this moment that local beers are on the rise, we're seeing local sodas or even some of the bigger alternate brands like RC Cola are seem to be on the wane. And so it's kind of nice to see a thriving local soda pop company. So check out Dr. Enough. I don't know if you can order them.
You can. You can have them shipped, yes.
Well,
I think drenough.com.
What would you mix?
E-N-U-F.
Yeah, E-N-U-F. Yeah. What would you mix with Dr. Enough, guys?
If you're going to make a mixed drink?
Yeah.
Obviously a clear liquor, gin or vodka. I may have done that once.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or twice.
Sure. If you had anything like a kind of bitter or cherry juice.
Sure.
Or,
you could definitely do that. Yeah.
Okay. It's excellent.
I was going to say a little bit of bitter, a little bit of bitter, and maybe even like a whiskey, like a dry whiskey, and even like pop a cherry in there, and you're doing great.
Yeah, it's good all year.
We should ask Melanie at Rain
to do a Dr. Enough. Yeah,
Johnson
our friend Melanie at Rain is like a wonderful mixologist, and that's, yeah.
Yeah, so we need to get her on
that. We do. That's actually, that could be a nice thing for them. So Dr. Enough, if you're listening, we are looking for sponsors. we would gladly accept your sponsorship. Who else would we everybody we've talked about.
Yeah.
Please sponsor. Qingdao Beer, if you would like to sponsor us. Clayman will learn Chinese for an adequately large number.
I'll learn Finnish.
You are not actually a member of the staff.
I'm just throwing it out. Hiring process is
handled. The hiring process. Yeah, I mean, you haven't even turned in. I asked you to submit a resume. No dice. Anyways, guys, we're getting off track. I think we're all pretty tired here this evening, so we're going to get out and get done. Please be sure to check us out on Twitter. Check out our Facebook page. We, of course, also have a website, www.pickledeggsandcoldbeer.com. We will have an entry on this. We'll have some other media and content on there. We'll have links to everybody we've done a plug for. Please remember to use common sense when consuming alcohol. Don't drink and drive. And we will see you all next week for another episode on Pickled Eggs and Cold Beer. Guys, for Jason Clayman and Callie Finishname, this is me, Eric Smith, saying Prost.
Playing for me, Mr. Pine Top. Oh, just play that thing all night long. Say, landlady, bring Mr. Pine Top just as much as he wants to drink. I'll pay for it. Get the whole jug. I don't mind it. Play that thing now, boy. Ah, folks, that's tight like that now. Oh, whip that thing now. Whip it till it sweats, Mr. Pine Top. Now you're playing for me. Now that's the way I milk. Thank you.